to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is Wednesday, April 17th, Major League Baseball. Again, recorded this on Tuesday afternoon. Only one game has happened, so nothing really to talk about on Tuesday. Did want to just mention, though, in lieu of doing a recap slide, which is weird because I feel like the recap slide should possibly be like what just happened, but with where we're recording right now, it's like, I've always said this, right? If I'm recording before the previous day, it's like Wednesday's show would recap Monday, and that gets weird. So I don't know. But doing that, I was looking through some of our, you know, how we're doing. Obviously, first fives continue to do well, A and B grades. I believe I probably have set the criteria a little bit too high for those. So, you know, there aren't very many A's and there aren't very many B's, but the A plus B grades on first fives are doing fantastic. And the A grade sides continue to perform well. We're up to a 6%. ROI and 88 A grade sides as of right now. And so, you know, the play of the day still just, you know, struggling, you know, right below 500, which is not ideal, of course. But, you know, we'll get that turnaround. That's a pretty small sample size. Thankfully, great sides, since you do well, most of the plays of the day come from those, and that'll follow along. So if you're looking for all that information, all the first five run line summaries, play of the day, Discord chat, where we have a lot of fun, look out for each other, help each other, chat with each other, entertain each other, all sorts of goodies there. 10-day free trial to start you out on Dub Club. QR code there, QR picture thingamabobber there, link in the show description. Please check that out if you have not yet. Supporting us helps us stay in business, which is obviously a good thing. If you're watching the show, you like watching the show, and so we need your support. We appreciate those of you who are already doing that. Some quick reminders here, pickswiththeprofessor.com/new. We'll give you the information about the model, just a brief outline of it in case you're new here, and the community rules that we abide by around these parts. We are projecting an average game. I do not know what will happen in one game. There are going to be one game where weird things happen. Bad pitchers are going to look good. Good offense are going to look bad. Bad offense are going to look good. The White Sox are going to win a game. Eventually, probably they'll win another game. Don't know when. Weird things will happen in one game. We're talking about the average game. What does that mean? We're working with probabilities. Anything is a good bet if it's priced right. And why is that? It's the reason why. And I think so far it's been a little bit weird. And some of you are like, man, I've seen this before. And I know it's weird. I don't think it'll continue. I think this won't happen all season. But there are just sometimes weird seasons where we're at the exams. You never know. But all that to say, The A grades do better than the B grades. Why is that? Not because those teams win more often. On average, the teams win about what we think. We have a fairly well-calibrated model. Now, I'm always looking to improve that. I'm always trying to catch where things are wrong. There's some in-depth details about how you can have a set of 100 picks and you say they win 55% of the time, and they do, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't improve on that, even if 55 of 100 do it. And it's complicated, and it gets like, even me, I have to like, this is my area of expertise, and I have to like stop and be like, wait, what are we doing here? So it's not that simple. But you know, I'm always trying to improve that. But the bottom line is, because the teams win roughly at the percentage that we think they will, the price is what matters and helps you be profitable or not. That's how every single person who does this for a living operates. All the professionals, all the sharps that you hear, there's no such thing as a sharp side. There's a sharp number that they will play any side at. And the reason that is because we can look at a game and say, we know on average what's going to happen. And in the long run, how it's going to play out means I need a certain price in order for this to be a profitable venture. It doesn't mean it'll be profitable that one night, but it will be in the long run. And so those are the principles that we operate off of here as well. It's just sound, simple math. I'm not reinventing the wheel. I'm just following along what we've long known. Hopefully I'm just giving you tools to help identify those prices a little bit better, whether you're using my model exclusively or just as a tool in your tool belt. Hopefully, you know, that's the way we're looking at it. Weather can change. We're about 24 hours for most of these games, a little bit less because there's a bunch of day games on Wednesday, but a lot of this weather can change. All those updates are on Dub Club. There are no locks in gambling. The A grades, kind of as I mentioned, they're the best value. What that means is not that they're going to win more necessarily. What it means is that when they win, the price is good enough so that they should be slightly more profitable than everything else. But as always, take what you like and leave the rest. If you could hit that like button, that helps us out in the algorithm. helps other people find us when the like button helps us. We like it when you like it and appreciate that. We'll get to it here with a bunch of day games. Giants and Marlins will be the first one. Keaton Wynn and Trevor Rogers is what is listed right now. When I pulled this, there was no line. It does look like there is a line that has just come out in the interim here. And so I'll talk about it a little bit more based off of what we're seeing here, because we would have a lean on this game. But the official is that there's going to be no pick on this game because there was no line. But we do think it's Keaton Wynn and Trevor Rogers here. Pretty similar matchup with regards to the starting pitchers. Both of them are fairly decent. If you've been following along a couple of days, I did fix the lefty-righty thing, so it is printed right. It was just printed backwards, but now it is printed right. The Giants are a little bit left-handed heavy, a little bit weaker against the lefty. That's what Trevor Rogers is. Marlins are pretty balanced. Doesn't really matter what they're facing. The Giants will have an edge on offense, and they'll have an edge at the bullpen. The Giants are favored in this one. They should be favored in this one. The model only says that the Giants win this 52% of the time, despite having a bullpen edge, despite having an edge in offense. I think the reason why, baseball is a sport that's a lot closer to 50-50 than you think. You take a lot of these same metrics and you put them in football, because the grades are not how far apart the teams are. Absolutely, they're relative to the league to help us understand. So when we say a team has an 83 grade offense and a team's 103 grade offense, that's a large difference relative to the differences in Major League Baseball, but the differences in offenses aren't that big. Like, obviously, yes, the Dodgers offense is better than, the White Sox offense, and that's the extreme case. But in this case, the Giants offense is better, but the gap between 103 and 83 is not the same as in college basketball, an offense of 83 and 103, or college football, 103 and 83. The gap's a little bit smaller there. So the Giants have an edge in offense, have an edge at bullpen, but they don't have an edge at starting pitcher. Both of these guys are fairly respectable. They've both not done well coming out of the gate, but they both have promising underlying metrics, decent enough, overall, that we think that'll kind of be a wash. The game's in Miami, so we've only got the Giants 52% to win. So the price should be -109. Right now, it looks like the model would be leaning towards Miami. I'm not going to be running to play this at the current price that I just saw. If I am playing the Marlins, it is probably a first five. I want no part of that bullpen. I've talked about it a lot this season. I'm not sure the model realizes how bad their bullpen is. The rating keeps going up and up. And Cousin Jared's talked about this as a guy who really I love his insight. You can always chat with him on the Discord chat as well and ask his opinion. But as a guy who watches the model pretty closely, will tell you that as we're adjusting to what's happening, whether it's early in a season or a seasonal change or a trend or whatever, we kind of want to see the trend and see, like, have we hit a point where it stopped, or like we feel like we're there. And we don't know with the Marlins bullpen, right? They started off above average, but they've just been so terrible. And it's like, what we have them rated at now is our best guess based off what we've seen this season, plus what we know about these individual pitchers. It's a player-based model. But when the trend's like this sharp this early, you just have to wonder. You're just like, I don't know. Like, it could be worse and it could be better. We don't know. Like, it could just be some bad fluky things. And this, one teens grade for the Marlins relievers turns out to be a 105, in a couple weeks. Maybe they get closer to one. Maybe it falls down to 120. Like, it's just got a lot of variance. Bullpens do in general. But this Marlins bullpen is just a big question mark. So right now we would lean towards the Marlins, but I'm really only dying to take them if it's first five. Those markets have not been established yet. The first five price needed for an A grade, whether it's run line or money line or reverse run line, are all available on Dub Club. We'll see that in the morning. Maybe we'll have an official pick on it. But as of now, we are passing on to that one. Twins Orioles, 1:05 p.m. Eastern, about 60 degrees throughout the totality of this game. Wind to be blowing in at about 10 miles an hour. And so it's going to make this a fairly pitcher-friendly environment, given that the average temperature for a game in Baltimore is low 70s. So a little bit cooler, going to make the ball not fly as much. Wind blowing in is going to knock it down a little bit. Be fairly pitcher-friendly. Pablo Lopez doesn't need really any help, as good as he is. Though I will point out, he's not been fantastic this season. Not quite the same Pablo Lopez we've loved from an earned run perspective. But if you've been watching this week, I've been talking about it a lot, and I'll continue to make this point. So I apologize if it's, making the same point over again, but his underlying metrics are very okay. Mid threes He's still a very good pitcher. That is much more predictive than ERA. ERA assigns him all the blame for certain things and none of the blame for other things. And so some of the advanced metrics do a better job of that. Not to say they're perfect, but they do a little bit more representative job, more predictive job of that. And I still think he's a fairly solid pitcher, very good pitcher. Now, Tyler Wells, on the other hand, also better than his ERA, but his underlying metric so far in his three starts put him more in the mid fours. He's been very mediocre all career for him. Run-of-the-mill pitcher, nothing great, nothing bad. Two great bullpens. Baltimore's going to have the edge on offense, though. The model says they win this 52% of the time. They should be priced at minus 109. I'm going to jump on the Orioles at minus 105. It's a C grade. It's a C plus. It's basically a B grade. The threshold here is 105 for a B grade, but you're talking about there's math involved in the calculation, and so the B grade price, if it's minus 105 or better is what the sheet will say, is probably like minus 104 point something that rounds to that. So it's technically not, it's close enough to a B grade. I think it's worth it. Early on in the season, you just kind of take a stance on some of these things and say, this is what I think. This is what I think is real. I think this team's better than people realize. I think this team's worse than people realize. We'll talk about the next team, the Brewers, right? I think their offense is a little better than people realize, right? And we just kind of you have your takes, your opinions. Once you get into May, you know, you have enough data where you can be a little bit more data-based at this point. I'm not really sure at this point, but we've been backing the Orioles for a couple of years now, saying they're underrated. I want to back the Orioles every chance I get, at least until that proves me wrong. That doesn't mean they'll work, and of course, I'm recording this before Tuesday's game. They might lose Tuesday, and then I'll hate that, of course, since I want to back this Orioles team in every way, shape, and form. The model's what helps us say the price is good enough to go ahead and, yes, you can do that. Or maybe you should hold off. Maybe you should look at different markets. Maybe you should, there's a lot of other fish in the sea type thing. Don't mess with it, because the market, that's why I have the model to help kind of ground us there. So anytime there's any bit of Orioles edge, I think it's worth playing. They've just been such a good team to back. And they're a team that when the market doesn't correct to how good they are over a year and a half. One of the many, many ways I can disprove that the closing line value theory is questionable at best. Just another example of like, if it didn't correct all last year or at the end of the year before, like maybe we're still not figuring out how good the Orioles are as a market. And so maybe we should still be backing them. So that's what I'm going to try to do. Here's the thing and why, you know, this is technically a C grade, even though it's literally on the line of B and C. I don't mind playing at a C grade. Why is that? It's just a little bit less risk reward. Fading Pablo Lopez is never fun. He's still a really good pitcher. So, you know, B grade would be more or less like 1.125 units, according to our math. If you played as an A grade, it'd be 1.5 units. C grade would be risking 1 unit. So we're not talking about big differences, but some of these little things will add up. I'm going to keep it at a C grade here just because I think the Orioles are a smart pick. I want to be backing them, but I'm not going to invest heavily in fading Pablo Lopez. Hopefully that makes sense. You take something good from that. Padres and Brewers. Again, I think this Brewers offense is probably better than people realize. They've looked really good. They're coming around. They're trending upward. They're still not as good as this Padres offense. And this one, roof closed, probably a fairly chilly day in Milwaukee, around 60 degrees. Michael King and Freddie Peralta. King has been sketchy for San Diego. Low four in the ERA, but the underlying metrics are a big concern. And so here's a situation where the Brewers could potentially put some runs up on the board, given his underlying metrics. Freddie Peralta, on the other hand, is phenomenal for Milwaukee. Three great starts, underlying metrics align. He's one of the better pitchers in baseball. So the reason there's no pick or anything on this one is we have not confirmed Freddie Peralta. We don't know if the Brewers are going to go with him or if they're going to have him go on Thursday, or maybe they're off Thursday. I don't know. The next day, whenever they play next. So this projection that you're seeing is for Freddie Peralta. If it's not him, we'll have an update on that up for Dub Club and an official pick projection recommendation either way tomorrow morning, or if you're watching this on Wednesday morning, you might already have that information. If it is Peralta, though, the models of the Brewers should win this 58% of the time, that the Padres offense is better, but not by a bunch. Wash on the bullpens, both very respectable, both very okay. But the home edge plus the Freddie Peralta edge. it makes the would make the Brewers decent favorites. But again, we're still waiting to see who's actually starting for Milwaukee at this point. Pirates and the Mets, chilly one in New York, around 50 degrees. Wind to be blowing across, so we're really just looking at colder weather. Decent chance of rain is what it's looking like on this one. So this is one to keep an eye on, especially because if it does rain, does it get pushed to later in the day? Do they just call it early? I'm not sure exactly how long the rain will hold on. At this point, being 20 hours ahead of time, it's impossible to know. You know, if it gets into night game, will it get even colder because the front coming through? I don't know how this will work. So something to keep an eye on weather-wise. If this game happens, a lot of rain possibility. So keep that in mind. If it does happen, we're looking at Bailey Falter and Luis Severino. Right now, the model would have a lean towards the Pirates because it's saying that the price should be a little bit less favorable to the Mets. The Mets are favored. They should be favored. The bullpens are basically a wash. The offenses are basically a wash. The starting pitchers are lean Severino. Here's the thing that concerns me about taking the Pirates in this game. There's two things. Number one, applies to all of these games. Wednesday betting, Thursday betting, Sunday betting can sometimes be a little bit more difficult because you have to look at bullpen usage and how the games have played out. The Mets used Diaz on Monday. Recording this before Tuesday's game, do they use him again on Tuesday? If they do and he's unavailable, he's by far their best reliever, and then the Pirates would have a bullpen edge. So if the Mets win on Tuesday, that kind of changes your outlook a little bit for Wednesday. If they don't and he's rested, then it's fine, right? So on average, the bullpen situation on these Wednesday, Thursday, or Sunday games plays out kind of about the same. But then there's these random situations where it's like a team that won the first two games might actually be slightly less likely to win the next one because of how they've used their pen. If they've won them close, if they won them big, it shouldn't matter. So just a couple of like weird things to keep in mind on that here for this game and for all the games. Might be why the first fives have done really well. Might be why the first five markets are things to look into if you're with us on Dub Club, getting all that stuff, especially here for your Wednesday, Thursday games, because we don't have to care about the bullpens. We don't care who's won, who's been used, because we're mostly focusing on the starting pitchers. The second thing that's specific to this game, the model says that Severino's better than Bailey Falter. I agree with that. I'm not sure the gap isn't bigger. Severino's been pretty good his first three starts. His underlying metrics are really solid. He's a guy I was kind of high on coming into the season. Like, his projection is pretty bad because of how things have fallen apart for him and a lot of the question marks with him at this point trying to like rebound his career. But I mean, I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, all systems seem pretty go to me. So he's graded as a 101 because we can't just ignore the past. But the way he's looked so far, like, and we know he can be a pretty good pitcher, like, there's a really good chance he's more like a 90 grade, and it's just going to take a few more starts for him to get there and prove that to the model. But the model is like going to make him prove it because it's not going to overreact. So he might be more like a 90. Bailey Falter's underlying metrics are worse than his projection. Like, he might be more like a 150. The gap between these starting pitchers might be bigger. So the model would lean Pirates. I'm not playing the Pirates unless the value's through the roof, because the model says Mets 55%. Knowing that, or how I feel, and if you feel differently, don't make this manual adjust me. You know, you always take how you feel about this. My personal thought is the model says 55% on the Mets. When I dive into it, look under the hood, I think it's probably more like 56, 57, maybe 58 even. And so that minus 124 that the model says it should be, I would say should be higher. Now, that's not to say I'm dying to take the Mets. The price is minus 140 is not overly exciting because the Mets still are the Mets. I don't want to lay a big odds with them. And the Pirates have looked great so far this season, but it means I'm not dying to take the Pirates either. So a pass for now. We'll see how the weather plays out. This game may not even happen, so maybe a bunch of talk for nothing. But we'll see the weather. We'll see the first five markets, all that stuff. Update in the morning. Rangers and the Tigers, about 70 degrees for this game. Should be a very nice day in Detroit. Wind blowing in fairly strong from center field. Talking about 10 to 15 miles an hour to start, picking up towards 20 miles an hour towards the end. So very strong wind blowing in. Temperature-wise, should be nice. About an average day in Detroit here for average baseball game in Detroit, in that there are obviously games that are going to be hotter and colder, but this is pretty run-of-the-mill temperature-wise. So the ball should fly like normally, but the wind will be a big thing knocking it down. Dane Dunning and Tariq Skubal for this one. And right now, the model says this one's priced really well. Skubal is one of the best pitchers in baseball. Seidlin has him as number five. Keep in mind, DeGrom is one. He's out. Strider's two. He's out. I don't remember who three and four are, but I mean, Skubal's up there. I mean, this guy's fantastic. .208 ERA, and underlying metrics in the upper twos. I mean, low threes. I mean, this guy is really good. We talk about him all season. Talk about him, you know, last season. Love this guy. Dane Dunning, very meh. .450 ERA. Underlying metrics actually a little bit worse this season. Rangers offense is better. Bullpens are a wash. The Rangers bullpen's improving, getting better. As we go along, they're looking for the show. The Tigers bullpen's always been solid. The Tigers should be favored. They are favored. Modelus is priced right on. So we're going to pass on the side here for the full game. Maybe the first five market offers us something in the morning. Maybe not. Maybe we just say it ain't worth it. Even the total market doesn't even look good right now. And I'm not giving out total picks on this show for a couple of reasons. Mainly, most of these games have weather that matters, and I don't want to give out a total for thousands of people watching the show when it's relying on weather 24 hours in advance that could easily change. We've been betting on that before in the past. So it's mainly weather related there. But if the weather doesn't change even right now, this total of 7.5, the model says 7.6. So even the total market doesn't play off a lot. Sometimes I'll say there's no side pick, but hey, check out the total market, right? Even this one looks priced really, really well. If the Rangers offense wasn't so good, or if Dane Dunning was a little bit better, I'd say let's go under 7.5. But like Skubal, if he's going to give up some runs, like this Rangers offense might put up a couple. The Tigers offense isn't great, but if they're going to score, they might score off of Dunning. Like it's kind of one of those where I wouldn't feel great about going over, especially with this wind. But like, at least for right now, it's like, I'm not really sure I'm loving it. So, like I said, for me right now, it would kind of be like under or pass, but the model is even, that's very good. So right now, just passing on this one. We'll see what the morning offers. Maybe you'll have a pick on it then. Royals and the White Sox. And I mentioned previously, there was a time when betting on the White Sox was profitable, mainly because when you were losing basically nothing. And when you were winning a lot. That was because when they were 2-whatever, and they haven't won a game since then. So obviously now that's not the case, and they're really showing themselves to try to be one of the worst teams, in modern day baseball history. They had that one win against the Braves where they were massive plus odds. They had a win against the Guardians where they got some big plus odds. But all of a sudden now, you're seeing what I've been saying, which is like, we're going to have to pick our spots with this White Sox team. We're going to have to get a great payout. Nothing is changing with that. I don't see any reason why that would change here. The model would lean us towards the White Sox again, but it's a pass for me. I could not back the White Sox. It's not a strong enough edge to be worthwhile. A couple things. First off, this Royals offense. I'm going to be really curious to see their offensive rating. 92 is really good. It's by far better than anything they had last year. Last year, their offense was probably upper 70s, low 80s. It's like the Marlins bullpen I mentioned, like it's going up. I don't know where it'll go. Like, you know, so far you have to be really impressed. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. just looks unstoppable. You have some other guys who are playing fairly well. Melendez maybe a little bit over his head. Even if those guys keep performing, you know, this offense will keep going up. I don't know if it will. I'll just be curious to see where it's going to go. So that's kind of number one thought. Number two, Michael Wacha. Is it a similar boat? A guy who 4 ERA underlying metrics though are really promising, but his projection isn't great because he's been just a very mediocre pitcher of his career, but like so far so good. You know, maybe there's something in the water in Kansas City this year. All those starting pitchers look really good. I think Wacha might be one of the weaker ones. You know, he's either the weakest or one of the weakest. And so the gap here between the starting pitchers may be even bigger than the model realizes. I'm not really sure. Maybe Michael Wacha at the end just turns out to be an average pitcher at this point. A lot of question marks in this game, I think. Eric Fetty, probably not great. has done okay so far, but his FIP is in the 7s, so that's a little bit of a concern. The Royals' bullpen needs to be improved if they're going to contend. So far, they're doing it, but if they want to keep it up. Model says the Royals are favored. They should be favored, but, you know, the A-grade threshold for the White Sox at plus 165, I'm not even sure if it gets to plus 165, I'd be playing it. If I'm going to play the White Sox at this point, I'm going to play the first five market and get out of Dodge if I can. But the Royals are a team that the model's just trying to catch up to, like, they're better than we all thought. There's probably out of 100 people, there's probably two or three that thought the Royals might be good this year. And maybe that's not true. Maybe the Royals will still end up being the Royals, but like maybe this team's actually pretty solid. And so the models are trying to catch up and figure that out and adjust. And so until it's really figured out where the Royals are, I'm not taking the White Sox against them, that's for sure. So I'm definitely passing on taking the White Sox unless the value's through the roof and it's not there. So no pick for me on that one. Afternoon game in Houston, 2:10 p.m. Eastern, Braves of the Astros, predicting the roof to be closed, sunny, low 80s in Houston. I'll probably make it feel a little bit warm in there. Max Fried and JP France, y'all, a pair of pitchers that have started three games and both have ERAs in the eights. That is incredible. I mean, that's just like full stop. Just like, let's just bask in that. The underlying metrics for both of these guys are much more promising, obviously for Fried more than France. The underlying metrics for Fried are not as good as what we expected coming into the season, but he's got a 419 FIP. He's got a 380 XFIP. His last start out, it seemed like he at least got things going in the right direction. After that first start, I was like, that's explainable. The second one, I was like, whoa, what's happening? Hold on. Let's make sure he's right. Looks like he was in the third one. So maybe he's going to be up against it against this Astros team. That's a very good offense. Depending on who's healthy, who's playing, who's in and out, been ping-ponging around in the top five with a couple of these other teams. If you watch day-to-day, it's just jostling around different things. It's just rounding errors, right? And they're all really close. They're all really good. It's a really good Astros offense. Really good Astros offense against lefties. So it's going to be a tough task for Fried in this one, but he is – supposed to still be one of the better pitchers in baseball, and he will have it easier than JP France because while France is not as bad as that ERA either, the underlying metrics for him, while better, are still a bit concerning. I think the Braves are going to be able to score some runs off of him. And then once you get past that, this Astros bullpen, just like the Marlins bullpen, continues to go the wrong direction. Josh Hader getting hit around last night. Abreu doesn't look good. I mean, it's a concern as an Astros fan. That bullpen now ranked number 20, according to Sideline, and just continuing to fall. Where's the bottom going to be? I don't know. So you've got a pretty big starting pitcher edge and pretty big relief pitcher. You're going to have an edge pretty much every inning for the Braves here unless they get blown out and then they're just throwing garbage pitchers. So the offense is a little neutral out, but the pitching just favors Atlanta so much as well. The model says they win this 61% of the time. I think the Braves at minus 143. It's a B-grade pick. 139 is the A-grade threshold. So if you can get 140, you can probably say close enough. Let's take them there and play it as an A grade. But the Braves, it's Braves or pass on this one. You can also look first five market, especially with that big starting pitcher discrepancy. But I'm going to say the same thing I said about Wednesday's game that I said about Monday's game, which is, yeah, the starting pitcher discrepancy favors the Braves, but so does the bullpen. And so having those extra few innings to eliminate the variance might work out in our favor. And that's how Monday's game played out. We can talk about Tuesday's. It hasn't happened yet, but Monday's game was 2-1 after five. And if you play Braves first five, you eked it out, but you were literally one thing happening over 100 some odd pitches of not winning that one, either pushing or losing it. But by the time the full game happened, and you wouldn't have expected it to be Hader, but by the time the full game happened, the Braves ended up winning by five, I think. So that's where the full game helps us, because those relievers for the Astros are just got a lot of question marks, and the relievers for the Braves are fairly trustworthy. It doesn't mean they won't blow a save here and there, but overall pretty good. But folks, always shop around. Minus 143, B grade's the price I'm locking in. But if you have multiple books at your disposal, you might find that minus 140 to get you the A grade. If you don't have an account with them yet, BetUS is one of those places that should be part of your repertoire. 125% bonus on your first three deposits ever that you make. Link in the show description.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
A couple of games at 3 p.m. Eastern, Yankees and the Blue Jays. A very chilly one in Toronto. Low 40s, expecting the roof to be closed there. Marcus Stroman and Kevin Gausman. Gausman's ERA through three starts, 11.57. Obviously, he was coming into the season, battling a minor you know, aggravated injury type thing. And so far not looked great with the results, but the underlying metrics are like, don't cry just yet. If you're a Blue Jays fan, xFIP before 19, obviously you're hoping for better than that. But there's at least hope for him to get back to ace level. Now, so far you have to be concerned enough that maybe he won't be, you know, Cy Young level, but he still can be ace level for sure. And we still think he's a very good pitcher despite some struggles early. Stroman's looked fantastic for the Yankees. If you're a Yankee fan, you have to love what you've gotten from him. Underlying metrics put him more in the mid threes. The projection's still a little bit higher than that because he's been a little up and down over his career. But if he keeps pitching like this, he's going to be down there in the 80s as well, because it's been great so far for him. Wash with relievers. Yankees, of course, a better offense. We've been talking about that all week. But for right now, another game we're going to pass on. Model says it's priced very well in this one. So we've got the Blue Jays are priced at minus 110. Model says it should be minus 108. Yankees are even money. Model says it should be plus 108. So right now it's just priced so well that there is not a discernible edge in this one. Nats and the Dodgers, a nice afternoon in Los Angeles. And this is one that might play a little bit hitter friendly for the Dodgers, who don't necessarily need any help offensively. Low 70s, wind to be blowing out to right field. They've got a handful of lefties. They're a little bit more left-handed heavy, and those lefties are going to love that wind. A couple of warning track fly balls I saw in that park last night. I don't remember even who hit them, but you know, those are getting out now to right field here with about a 10-mile-an-hour wind. So a little bit of a boost to the bats. No line on this game yet, and you're like, yeah, I know, because that's the way it goes. The Dodgers are not deciding who they're going to pitch. They've got so many injuries, and so we do not know who they're going to have. Jake Irvin for the Nats has been better than his rating so far this year, so his rating is improving, but we still aren't optimistic about him, and obviously think he's going to have a hard time shutting down the Dodgers. Nats relievers are very respectable, other than, of course, you know, if you backed them Sunday, that didn't go well. But the Dodgers, massive edge on offense, and we're projecting right now, this is just, I'm going off of Fangraphs, one of their top pitching prospects, Landon Knack, to pitch, who projects to be pretty run-of-the-mill average. If it is him, we would be looking at 2 out of 3 chance the Dodgers win. So no pick on this one because there's no line. So giving you the information. If it's that, if it's not, we'll update Dub Club accordingly. Cardinals and the A's, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, 70 degrees in Oakland, wind will be blowing out. Ball tends to carry a little bit better there in the afternoon, something to take note of. Steven Matz and Paul Blackburn. Matz has been great, a guy I've been talking about here for a while. I think he's a pretty solid pitcher, better than people realize. The xFIP's a little bit concerning, but the FIP's below 3, so kind of depending on which eye you close there, you can make a case that he's even that the one-hit ERA won't stick. You know, he's still a very good starting pitcher, which might appear to be the Cardinals' strength this year. They seem to have a couple new arms there. Go with a guy like Matz, who they got last year, looking pretty strong there on top of a strong bullpen. The A's will throw Paul Blackburn, who we know the 0 ERA won't stick, but his underlying metrics are good. He's been a guy we've liked and backed. The model is leaning us to the A's. A couple of notes on this one. No pick right now. We would have a C grade on the A's. The current price is plus 143. The model says it should be plus 132. The B grade threshold for the A's is plus 138. A grade threshold plus 152. Want to see the run line on this one. The A's +1.5 could be pretty appealing. The model might look at it and say we're expecting a few more runs in the day. Maybe that's not as appealing as a first five market. We avoid the A's bullpen and kind of what I mentioned earlier already, talked about a lot with the A's. Mason Miller, if he's pitched or not, matters. And so recording this before Tuesday's game happens. And I'm doing that because some of you are like, why don't you record later? Well, two little kids, and I'm not going to wake up at like 4 a.m. to record, because then I wouldn't know what happened the night before because I would be barely awake. So if I record in the morning, I've thought about it. We may end up doing it, but like the show's not going to get out till about 10 a.m. Eastern. And so if you're on the West Coast, you're like, great, that's fine. But if you're on the East Coast, that's like a little bit later in the day. So we're kind of in a rock and hard place between when we record on this based off of, you know, my personal life. And so I just don't know what's happening. If he's still in like 2 innings and he's out, like I'm A's first five. I wouldn't go full game. But I don't mind backing Blackburn. I don't mind backing Mats either. I wish we could play an under, but I'm a little bit concerned about the weather here. Like, this is not going to play like a hitter-friendly ballpark, but it won't play quite as pitcher-friendly. Obviously, there's miles of foul territory there, which helps the pitchers. But it's going to be a day that you might see some runs in Oakland, which isn't something you can always say. So I'd like to back both these pitchers with an under. I don't think I can based off the weather. I'd like to back Blackburn, maybe it's first five. I hate fading Mats in the first five, but it just all depends on the price. And so, again, official recommendation will come to Dub Club in the morning. Cubs and the Diamondbacks, 3:40 p.m. Eastern. Again, a ton of afternoon games here on Wednesday, only three night games. Warm one in Arizona, upper 80, so projecting the roof to be closed there. Jordan Wicks and Brandon Faught. Wicks has been much better than his ERA, so don't be deceived by that 5.68 ERA. The underlying metrics say he's been a lot better. And in fact, if he continues to pitch the way he's pitched this season, his grade's going to be down in the 90s soon enough. Brandon Faught, very similar story. Much better than his 6.48 ERA. Underlying metrics actually are better than his projection. So another guy that if both these guys keep doing what they're doing, their ERAs are going to come down, their projection are going to come down, they're doing good. If you're the girlfriend or wife or parent of one of those dudes watching this show, A, welcome. I think there's a lot to be encouraged about by both Wicks and Faught. I think they're both okay. They just got to keep doing what they're doing. It's kind of a wash there on the pitchers. Diamondbacks have a little bit better bullpen. Offense, it's kind of a wash. I mean, this is kind of a Diamondbacks, maybe an edge of the pen in their home. And that's really what it boils down to. So the model says they win 54% of the time. That means Diamondbacks minus 112. Official B grade pick for us here. Minus 107 is the A grade. So we're a nickel away from the A grade threshold. But I think the Diamondbacks make sense to back here at this price. Again, though, the bullpen stuff is something to keep an eye on. Based off how Tuesday's games go into Wednesday's. Last afternoon contest of the day is the Reds and the Mariners, 4:10 p.m. Eastern. It'll be a slightly chilly day in Seattle. Wind will be blowing in, and again, they do not have a way to prevent that, but the official pick on this one is our play of the day. Andrew Abbott and a sparkling 2.60 ERA will go up against Bryce Miller, who has an even better ERA. Play of the day over there on Dub Club. Again, link in the show description to get access to the information and play for that one. Rockies and the Phillies, 6 p.m. Eastern. Ryan Feltner and Christopher Sanchez. Sanchez is a guy the models liked and been touting for quite some time now. 92 grade, 3.52 ERA. Underlying metrics suggest even better performance in that. So a guy who's even pitching better than the model has expected versus Ryan Feltner, who, as I think I mentioned last time, might be the Rockies' best starter at this point. Everything he's done has been fantastic. So you have to be pleased with him if you're a Rocky supporter. He's been really good, and a guy that I don't really want to fade him because I think he's very respectable on the road getting out of Coors. He should be able to pitch fairly well. This Phillies offense isn't great. Of course, the Rockies offense isn't great either, and the Phillies have a massive bullpen edge. The Phillies are big favorites on this one, but there's actually no edge, and it's a little bit of a surprise because we do love to fade the Rockies on the road. I think we're not fading them on the road here because of the fact that the model believes in Ryan Feltner, and apparently the rest of the world doesn't seem to. I'm not really sure why, but the current price for the Phillies is minus 210, which is actually pricier than the current or than what the model says of minus 208. So the price isn't good enough to mack the Rockies, but here in Wednesday's game, it is definitely not good enough to back the Phillies. If you're going to back the Phillies, you might look at the minus one market, the run line market. But based off what I'm seeing on the money line, my hunch is that market's not really any better. So this might be a game where we aren't able to really find an angle on the side market. Might find one on the total market based off of what the weather's looking like. So something to keep an eye on there. 6:50 p.m. Eastern, Angels in the Rays, Reed Detmers and Zach Littell. Both of these guys have ERAs in the low ones. It's obviously been a fantastic start to the year for both these guys. Detmer's underlying metrics have been phenomenal, suggest no fluke about it. He has been really good. That doesn't mean he can continue it, but it's not like the ERA has been blind luck. He's pitched really well. And, you know, obviously his aim's at continuing that. I'm not sure he can pitch quite this well, but I mean, it's been aces for him. Littell's also been really good for the Rays. Both these offenses are respectable. The Rays, of course, have a big edge at the bullpen, and that's the difference in this one, is that the Rays being at home with that bullpen edge, model says they win this 58% of the time, makes the Rays minus 120 in A grade. I cannot underscore just how much the bullpen matters here, and I know that Monday the Rays had a lead and their bullpen blew it, but we're not going to overreact to one game. This Angels bullpen, the model has no faith in whatsoever. And the other thing I think that's worth pointing out, and you might have seen that on that last slide, but the Angels are a little bit right-handed heavy, and their offenses that are overall about the same gets weaker when facing a righty, whereas the Rays are also a very right-hand heavy team, gets better facing a lefty. The difference between these teams facing the handedness of the starting pitchers in this game is about a full standard deviation. And that's, I think, where our big edge comes in. So, we didn't get the Rays on Monday. We passed on them here on Tuesday, kind of saying, hey, the model doesn't really like the Angels. Like, I need good enough value. I think the value's here. I think people are kind of missing that, assuming we have normal lineups, and so you never know what's going to happen on that, of course, who might have a rest day, but assuming we have normal lineups, while both of these pitchers are really good, and I think that Detmers is actually the better pitcher, the fact that the Rays are going to be able to throw out a bunch of really good righties against him as a lefty means they're set up to have as much success off Detmers as almost any team in the league is. Whereas the Angels offense really wants to be facing a lefty themselves and has to go up against a righty. Now you say that edge is going to be diminished for the back part of the game, and the model understands that. The model only gives the team that edge for however long we're projecting the starter to go. But that's when you get into the weaker Angels pitchers, and it won't really matter the handedness because the model doesn't think they're overall very good. Doesn't mean they can't have a good night. They had a great night Monday, but doesn't mean it's something that we project as a likely occurrence. And so for that reason there, I think we're getting a good edge because the Rays will have an edge batting throughout this game, much more than you would initially think if you just looked at said Detmers is probably the better pitcher. The handedness, the heavy handedness of both of these lineups being so right-handed heavy is going to potentially be the game changer in this one and just shifts the Rays' probability from 55, 56, 57, up into the mid-upper 50s, and that's what makes minus 120 an A-grade pick, just eking into the A-grade threshold, but one of the stronger plays on the day. And then wrapping us up, no late games, just the 7:10 p.m. Eastern with the Guardians and the Red Sox. According to the model, the strongest edge of the day, I believe right now, and there's a handful of games in other lines that we've already covered, but one of the strongest edges goes to this one. It'll be very chilly in Boston, mid-40s. Wind will be in or across, something to keep an eye on there. But the wind matters a little bit less in Fenway. Fenway is just high variance. It's just going to be a park that might have 16 runs or four. You just never really know what you're going to get with those weird dimensions. But the ball won't carry. Not sure it matters how much it carries if you're hitting a pop fly over the Green Monster, right? So it kind of just depends on where you're hitting the ball. Ben Lively for the Guardians coming over from the Reds gets a 115 grade. He'll be making his season debut for them. Versus Tanner Houck, who's been fantastic for Boston. Another guy, not just the first one I mentioned today, but great ERA, great underlying metrics. If he continues to do what he's doing, his rating is going to continue to get better and better and better. 89 grade now, could end up towards the low 80s with how he's looked. He's been fantastic. The counter is that this Red Sox lineup is really weak. We're still a little bit uncertain at this point exactly what's happening with a couple of their better players after that collision. The bullpen favors Cleveland. The Guardian just got to survive the first part of this game. The model says they win this almost 50% of the time, 48%, and that's what makes plus 129 an A-grade pick. Anything plus 121 or better gets that grade. To me, the bottom line on this one, the model, I built the model to do this specifically, is to say, yes, the Red Sox have a huge starting pitcher edge. And if you're playing the Guardians, you don't want to play them first five, unless you're getting an amazing price, of course, because the Guardians have made a lot of comebacks lately. And part of the reason they're going to make a lot of comebacks this season is their bullpen's good. And when you have a game like this, you're just trying to hold on for as long as you can, keep it tied, keep it a one-run game, and then come back and win. They've done it a lot this season. And that might be the playbook here. I don't know. But the benefit for them, having a guy like Ben Lively, who's not supposed to be a good pitcher, is they don't need him to do a bunch. They don't need him to go three times to the lineup. I'd be surprised if they asked him to. I'd be shocked if they asked him to go 3 times to the lineup. They're only going to be looking for him to go twice to the lineup, 4 innings, 5 innings at most. And they've got a bunch of good bullpen arms. You contrast that with putting him on a different team that doesn't have a good bullpen, and then it's a little bit tougher because now you're trying to say, now he needs to go a little bit deeper. We got to say, we don't want to pitch this guy, that sort of thing. And the Guardians don't have those qualms. And so bad pitchers get better with better bullpens because they aren't asked to do as much. They probably get a little bit better with better offenses too. And if you're playing behind this Guardians offense, that's looked fantastic so far to start the season, you get a little bit better too, because you feel like you can make a mistake and it's not the end of the world. You're not pitching every pitch on the edge of your seat because you know your guys can score, right? And so the model's not built to take that into account. That's just kind of a side note. But the model is built to say a 115 on this Guardians team is going to hurt them less than a 115 on a team like the White Sox, who then is going to be like, trying to get them more outs, or they're going to turn to a really bad pitcher. And so that's part of the reason why the model gives us value on the Guardians here, I think, is saying the Guardians may hang in there, they may come back, but the edge that the Red Sox have is only at starting pitcher, and the Guardians bullpen can mitigate that a little bit. And then the Guardians offense can help mitigate that the rest of the way, because the Red Sox offense just does not project very well. The Guardians offense does. So Guardians plus 129, A grade pick to wrap us up. And that's our show here for Wednesday. Everyone, thanks for watching. Remember, more on Dub Club, that link there or in the show description. Get you that 10-day free trial. Get your picks when you can't watch the show. Summaries, all sorts of information. I try to make it worth your money. Check it out if you have not yet. And as always, best of luck. And remember, you can eat your betting money, but please don't bet your eating money.